I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 29th, 2024, and the Saskatchewan Party has secured another majority government here in Saskatchewan. But I want to start today just by talking about Carla Beck a little bit. She has a beautiful family, and I thought she gave a really good concession speech last night. I sat through it all live. I listened to it, and I thought, man, she seems like she has genuine character. And that's a wonderful thing. And the beautiful family that goes along with it, Saskatchewan needs more beautiful traditional families. And I think she represents that. And I was kind of appalled, actually, listening. I usually don't listen to the commentary, but I turned on Global. I was watching the live feed of Global News, and they were shredding her after the speech because she wasn't aggressive enough. She wasn't attacking enough. And I thought that was really wrong-minded. I liked everything about her speech. And conversely, for different reasons, I liked how low-key the SAS party victory was. They gathered together in a room. They kept the media out. Mo showed up after Carla Beck gave her speech. He spoke for 10 minutes, and then everybody went home because tomorrow they got to get up and go to work. I don't think commentators in the mainstream media understand Saskatchewan and what makes this place beautiful and different. Carla did a really good job last night delivering that speech and in the messaging that she gave her own party. And I got to applaud her for that. Which brings me to another Saskatchewan content creator. And if you want an alternative point of view, you should probably check out Steve Boots because you'll get one. It's just another example of somebody on the left here that seems composed and controlled and not completely outlandish in the way they speak and not violent. The left here is so much more reasonable, not out of control. In other areas of the country, I'm quite used to seeing people who are crazy being very popular in left-wing politics. Here, the messaging is that much more composed. Now, I'm going to let Steve talk because I think he's actually indirectly quoting me here, and then I'll respond. But I just want to say, I might disagree with this guy on a lot of things, but I really like his presentation.
And you're going to see a lot of ink spilled about how polling is terrible and evil and all this stuff, or how people were trying to put their fingers on the scales. I really don't buy that. I really think it comes down to the fact that polling in Saskatchewan is just hard. There isn't a lot of market for it, and so as a result, there just aren't a lot of polls done. So when elections come, the samples are hard to get organized, and it's hard to get quality samples. You just don't have the existing track record of running a bunch of polls and having a bunch of existing samples to draw from. Political polling is hard, and it's getting harder and harder as it's getting more difficult to contact people by phone, and online polling has many challenges with reliability. But
the first talking point I want to address that Steve brought up is this idea that there's not a lot of history of polling. Now, I am paraphrasing. I am loosely quoting. This isn't verbatim, so don't accuse me of putting words in anybody's mouth. But the argument is there's not a lot of history here. There's not a lot of interest, and there isn't a lot of money going around. That is just wrong. Most of these pollsters have been around for a decade or longer, and they have been routinely getting Saskatchewan polling wrong. The entire time, they always underestimate the Saskatchewan Party's support. And I honestly thought the margin of error would be closer this time, not the gulf that's opened back up, because they were a little closer in 2020, even though they missed it. This kind of stuff, to say that there's no history, there's plenty of history. Cardinal Research, which is the only organization, they've been around since 2016, as an organization, they're not rated. The rest of them have a rating all above B, which is kind of horrendous considering the results they get. If those ratings aren't vastly downgraded, then 338's rating system isn't worth much here in Saskatchewan. But Cardinal's been around since 2016, and they're the only ones that got it even close to right, and it was still a polling miss. When you have all of these polling companies, which are all deep in the DEI woke culture, come out during the election. This isn't pre-election. We have an election week now for some reason. Fine, let's have an election week. We should ban poll releases during election week. And that would eliminate this problem. Everybody would just look for where the trend is going into the election. And then as soon as the polls open, the advance polls open, that's it. There's a blanket ban on polling. That's the way it should be. Because what happened here is during the course of the election, you had every single one of these DEI woke places that to some degree or another subscribe to the modern leftist paradigm releasing polls that are 12-point misses. They've got the NDP leading in every single one by very similar margins. And if we go to what actually happened, it's an epic miss. The SAS party lost 7% of support, and we're going to talk about where that came from in a minute. But the fact is, this all happened in an environment where the polling houses were all trying to tell you something else was happening. This is gaslighting. This is, and this is why I think Steve is quoting me, fingers on the scales, because I'm the only one that has used that term, finger on the scales. That's what this is. This is classic suppression polling. This is not an accident. Maybe it was an accident in the past, but this idea that there isn't a history, that these people can't correct to do polls properly in this province, that there isn't any money because somebody paid for these. Forum Research has a huge sample size. That's a really good poll for a place that has this low of population in terms of sample size, and they completely botched it. And it's even worse because in these polls, they didn't include the Buffalo Party. They didn't include Sask United or the PC Party. So the miss is even that much more pronounced. So I don't think anybody should accept being gaslit into believing this is just some kind of happy little mistake. And maybe there's room for it to be one gigantic accident, but if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And the fact of the matter is 338 Canada rapidly adjusted all of their polling averages down to predict a more NDP solid 50-50 toss-up, looks like government. And then you had all the pontificators out there, who I'm going to get into next, telling you that it was going to be a slim NDP majority a day or two. Within hours of the election, everybody switched and flipped their script. To me, that looks like classic suppression action, and some are not going to be intentionally doing it. But how can you possibly be this wrong all the time? And how can you possibly say there's no money when there's five different houses polling terribly going into the election and all the different independent pollsters? I'll show you one right now. This is an example of what I'm talking about. Now, this could be responsive just to the polls that are coming out that are so terrible. But that's the idea of suppression polling, is you engage a public response. You engage a certain perception. You create that, and then other people feed off it. And I don't know if everybody's doing that. Maybe one polling house is doing suppression polling, and the other ones are trying to pick up what the trend that they're following, thinking they're right, even though they've been wrong multiple cycles in a row. This is Polling Canada, a so-called impartial publisher of polls and talking about polling, even though if you look at the description in the bio, you can see all kinds of leftist I don't want to call it red flags, but you can see all kinds of leftist symbology. And we know if we looked up the LinkedIn and we go through it, this guy's in the tank for the left. But I digress. This is during the election, while people are still voting. Rumors are there's a public pollster doing work for the Saskatchewan Party that got told not to release their final poll publicly. Tonight might end up being pretty interesting. 72,000 people saw that vote. 72,000 people reacted to it in some way or another by seeing it and reading it. But the fact of the matter is, where's the evidentiary basis for this statement? It's just one floating statement that's thrown out there in the middle of an election. We don't know what pollster that was. And clearly, if any pollster was doing their work and worth the name pollster, they would have picked up on the fact that the Saskatchewan Party wasn't in that great a danger. Everybody started pushing this message leading into and on election day. If that's not suppression action, I don't know what is. And I'm not saying they're all in on some big conspiracy, but there's something more here than just, ooh, it's a happy accident, because the accident keeps on happening, and it's the same pollsters that keep making the happy accidents leading into elections. And this was just, it was blatant during election week to just start releasing all these terrible polls that show your preferred candidates winning. I mean, come on. Come on! Philippe J. Fournier, Saskatchewan Party wins fifth straight majority. NDP improves seat count, but falls short once again as polls missed the mark in Saskatchewan last night. Another happy little accident, but I really like the picture. The picture's honest. You can't miss the bullseye that much without it being deliberate. So, I mean, I like the picture. Now, I think we've picked on pollsters enough for the time being. Let's talk about what actually happened. The Saskatchewan Party picked up 53% of the vote, and the New Democrats came in with just under 40%. The Saskatchewan Party lost about 37,000 votes over 2020, which isn't inconsequential. It's something to pay attention to. And so where do we think those votes were lost to? Now let's break down the numbers. I do not believe that anybody that's voting Buffalo is ever going to vote for the Sask Party, and they are doubly unlikely to ever vote for the Saskatchewan New Democrats. So whatever support they showed in the last election went somewhere else. So some of it probably went back to the Sask Party. Some of it probably went to Sask United. We're not going to address the other lesser parties, even the Saskatchewan Green Party, because it's we're not analyzing losses here so much as we're analyzing winners. Sask United. Why does Sask United exist? It's a response against the Saskatchewan government's COVID policies, which were the least terrible of a lot, but that doesn't, when you're the least terrible of a lot, it doesn't mean that it isn't still terrible and that injustices were done to people. And people have long memories, and they should have long memories, because that should never happen again. One of the things the Saskatchewan Party should do is guarantee a right to bodily autonomy, to not be excluded from public because you decide to not partake in a medical experiment. No government should be telling you to inject something from a company that's developed that thing and is immune from liability, that jumps over testing and skips all the regulatory loopholes, or not loopholes, skips all the regulatory burdens and just goes right to deploying on the public with carte blanche immunity from damage. It's ridiculous. It should never happen again. And I'd like to see the Saskatchewan Party move in that direction. The other reason Sask United exists is because the gender ideology and the disgusting materials that were found in Saskatchewan public schools. It is a problem. I come from a place where it has taken over. This brain rot has taken over. It's in the elementary schools, and they're programming your kids to think they can change sexes as easily as they can change clothes. You give these people an inch, and they'll take everything, and I know it. I've lived it. I've seen it. This place needs to be protected from that. Sask Party needs to move on that. And also, build out a parental bill of rights and strengthen parental rights in this vein and in other veins, to be completely honest with you. I think the move now is for Sask United to look at what happened. Their leader ran a campaign that was entirely dedicated to targeting the Saskatchewan Party and barely ever talked about the New Democrats, and even went as far as saying that the Sask Party was the bigger threat than the New Democrats. It smacks of the PPC vengeance and vanity that plagued us post-2019. It smacks of revenge. It doesn't have substance. It doesn't have a... It lost its valid casus belli. And prosecute... So the way to do this would have been, as I've said before, is to concentrate your forces and attack in certain places where you have strength. And make it exclusive. Don't run everywhere. If you can't run a full slate of candidates to actually compete for power, then you need to concentrate your efforts in fewer numbers. Punch in. And if people are left out and they don't have somebody to vote for, it's exclusive. It gives them something to want to vote for later. So you build on that exclusivity. You take three cycles and you compete. They lost that initiative. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's over, especially considering the fact that last night the Sask Party seen, well, first off, there's been an exodus of more leftward-leaning candidates or MLAs. Last night, many got defeated who were more to the left in their persuasions. So now there's an incentive here to bring the Sask United vote home, and that vote is 4.1%. Now, some of them aren't going to go back, but some of them will. Those people are never voting for the NDP. That's off the table. So court them and bring them back. That brings the Sask Party up to around 57%, which means you got to find the 3% they lost, and that 3% is what the NDP actually picked up. You're registering a different voter segment, you're registering new voters in the cities, you're registering a higher turnout of unions, but in terms of raw percentage and vote share, they only got a little bit out of the SAS party. So this whole idea that the SAS party is incredibly weak is, first off, it's been blown out of the water, but secondly, it's still a narrative today that the Saskatchewan party showed its weakness. Now, I want to dive into a couple things about the win. I don't want to make this video too long-winded. But the fact of the matter is, you zoom in here, you got a 355 vote lead in Regina, Wascana Plains. You have 400 votes there. These are ridings that the SAS party won. 463 votes here. These are not, some of these ridings in the cities, these are not huge wins for the NDP. A few thousand votes go another way, and the SAS party has a ton more seats. They keep talking about this urban-rural split. The SAS party has all kinds of support in the cities. It's not like they're a minority grouping. There's still a lot of turnout there, and they're holding Saskatoon-Willow Grove. They're holding Saskatoon-Westview for now. We'll see if that pans out in the mail-ins. 377 votes is all that separates in Saskatoon Chief Mistawasis. Sorry if I've mispronounced that. You've got a 292-vote victory down south here. And yet, you just, the ridings are that much closer. Now, looking at actual results, Moose Jaw South is still very strong for the SAS party. Moose Jaw North is just, it's still incredibly strong. We don't even need to talk about Swift Current. I guess we could look at Yorkton and say 1,200 votes is not that much of a spread, but it's still a heck of a spread. Battleford's is secure, but here's where I think it gets really interesting. This might be the most interesting part of this election for me, and that's Prince Albert. Prince Albert South by 474, Prince Albert North by 125. This is an election that I quite honestly expected the SAS party to lose in Prince Albert for various reasons, and obviously my analysis was wrong. And I was sitting last night looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, why did these areas vote for the SAS party? I think Prince Albert needs martial law. I think it needs a really heavy hand for a while, and I think you got to take the people that are zombified on the streets and you got to put them in dryout facilities. This needs to be fixed. PA is a war zone. Everybody knows it. Everybody's talking about it, and it needs to be approached judiciously. And I think what we're seeing here is support for the Saskatchewan Marshals Service. I think it's a great idea, a Sask-grown solution that takes its orders not from the RCMP, but from the Saskatchewan government. If you want to really address these problems, you're going to have to go hard on them. And I think PA is actually showing that. I think that's what put the SAS party over the edge there. And you can let me know if you think I'm right or wrong. But the first myth is the SAS party is not strong in the cities. Yes, the NDP won more seats. They've always won more seats in the city, or they've always won several seats in the city. That's the core of their base. But a few thousand votes goes the other way, and they have more seats. The other thing, too, is in spite of the popular vote disparity, a couple percent for the NDP, they get themselves up to 42%. And they get it mostly in the cities, and all of a sudden, it's a very close election. In spite of the SAS party doing a landslide victory in terms of the vote disparity, you could have a Saskatchewan NDP government. So that's interesting too. And I want to address mail-in just very quickly because I'm not a fan of mail-in balloting at all. I do believe we need absentee ballots. I do believe there is a place for mail-in balloting or a service that can go to retirement homes to make sure that people are franchised. But we have to be very careful and very transparent. And this is some of the most transparent work you're ever going to get. It tells you how many have been returned by October 26th, tells you the numbers, you can compare, every single thing is transparent. You need two pieces of identification to get one, to apply, whatever. I still believe, I don't want to get into this because I've gotten into it in previous videos, I still believe it should be harder, not easier, to get a mail-in ballot. I don't think it should be available to everybody. I don't think, maybe there's no case to completely remove it. I mean, I would. If I could, I'd just get rid of the whole thing. But more secure is better. And even though you have a right to franchise, it's not the worst thing in the world if you have to drive an hour or an hour and a half to deliver your vote. That's okay. And if that person doesn't want to make that effort, if there's people out there who can't make the effort to vote, it's not the primary purpose of those officiating elections to do everything to handhold people into voting. You have an obligation to exercise your franchise, and if you're too lazy to do that, there's a point at which people should stop caring. The overall and overarching concern should always be security and your ability to trust the process, because it is as transparent as possible. So as much as I don't like mail-in voting, this is the best composure I've seen of it. All right, so what are the key takeaways from this entire process? My advice to the Saskatchewan Party would be never allow tabulators into the elections. No telephone voting. No more reforms to make it easier and accessible and all the talking points. Make mail-in balloting harder if you can. That ensures election integrity. And I would also advise that the land that people live on and the interests of that land, the interests of people who live in rural areas are always going to be at odds with the interests of people who live in urban areas. And if we focus exclusively on the growth of Saskatchewan's population, urban areas are going to outweigh rural areas. The land must always have a say. The people who live on the land must always have a say. There has to be a balance between pure population-based democracy and the land and the geography. These are not bad things. These are good things. So it should always be kept in mind as we move forward through time that balance should be preserved, even if it skews population-wise to the cities. I think the SAS party needs to move forward when it comes to parental rights and the gender stuff. Don't go soft here. Get this job done. Protect the kids. Kick this stuff out of the schools before they open the door any further. You need to fix the crime problem. I think you're going to pick up most of the 3% you lost to the NDP if you can just solve the drug addiction and crime problem. Put resources on that. Get the job done. Improvements to healthcare, whatever it takes to get improvements to healthcare, are good, considering all options. And education, it's more of a complicated file, because if you have advocates who are trying to get this madness more secured in the schools, maybe you need to come down with a bit more guidance when it comes to curricula. But I think if you beat the crime, I think if you kick out the madness and you manage the province in a way that shows improvement, you're going to have a larger majority in 4 years. Those are the things that I would like to see done. When it comes to the Saskatchewan NDP, I think if you want to strengthen your support, you have to abandon some of these far leftist notions. If you want to expand your reach, you got to stop with the gender nonsense. You got to stop carte blanche supporting it. It's going to be really hard for you because you have practitioners of that sitting in your caucus. So I don't know how you're going to get away from it, but it's a killer out here. You got to distance yourself from that madness. And I look at Carla Beck's family. I look at how healthy they are. I look at her kids. More of that, less of the crazy. Don't let the crazy in. You could also speak a little bit about the difference between legal gun owners and criminality. You got to abandon the whole safe supply, needle exchange, safe injection type madness. If people are on the street, drugged out of their mind, already homeless, already engaged in recidivist activity, their high criminal activity, they've already waived some of their rights, because we put people in jail, right? There's no greater infringement on your human rights than putting somebody in jail. It is a compassionate thing to take that person and put them in a mandatory dryout facility. That's what we need to do. That's where the focus is. So you need something like martial law in PA. And on top of that, you need to be able to pick these addicts up and go get them clean. And if the NDP started to support some of these common sense ideas, they might be able to win over some of the right in this province and be more competitive. That would be my advice. The only other party I'm going, I'll put out advice for two other units, and that is Sask United. Now's the time to leverage what you've accomplished, because you have made the Sask party sweat in some of those ridings, and some could argue the swing vote and the people who were dissatisfied with both options staying home, that you had an effect and you lowered their seat count. So there's your clout. You demonstrated 10-15% support in several ridings. You did real strong in the by-elections. Leverage that. You've moved the Saskatchewan Party into sense on some issues. Now that these more left-leaning personnel or characters in the SAS Party have been kicked out and turfed, this is your opportunity to go in and say, see, you know, these are winning ideas. Embrace them more, leverage that, and maybe go quietly into the night. Because the opportunity is gone now. It's been squandered. The election campaign that was just run on behalf of Sask United, this has nothing to do with the people who voted for them. I get it. The people who put out the signs and did all the work and supported their candidates, I get it. It's strong. But the way that you were led was absolutely atrocious, even if it was costly. It was just bad, and I'm not sure there's going to be another opportunity if the SAS Party is smart enough to eat your lunch. And when it comes to Buffalo, it is what it is. The people need a place to vote when they don't want to vote for anybody else. Buffalo is probably that option. For now, looking at the percentages and looking at the vote totals, it's kind of dead in the water. If the SAS Party leads wise here, they're gonna hang on to power in the next one too. But they have to take action, visible, concrete action to clean the streets. That's a big one. Clean the streets up, stop the gender madness and the other things that I highlighted, and they're going to be in good shape. I'm Frank Vaughn, and if you like this coverage, please consider financially supporting it. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of dedication. It takes me away from my family. I can afford to carry on like this for a while out of my own pocket, but eventually, like, I'll run out of money. So consider financially supporting it so that maybe I can keep going and build it out, do some really cool things. Right now, I don't really have a budget, so I got to create one somewhere. If you like it, support it. I'm never going to do advertising. I'm never going to do sponsorships. I'm not going to Patreon. I'm not doing Super Chats. If you like it, you got to figure out what you're going to do with it. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.